The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children on the North Carolina Reading Service. Today, our first story is called Betty Bunny Loves Easter. And as you know, this year, Easter is in April, so that's why we're reading Easter books today. And the author was Michael B. Kaplan. Anyways, here we go. Betty Bunny was a handful. Here she is jumping around, spilling her paints on the floor, taking her baby doll out. Her baby doll is actually a little bunny. Taking her little bunny down the hall, racing along. She knew this because on the night before Easter, she was hopping all around the kitchen, handing eggs to her parents, to her brothers, and her sister. And that's when everyone's in her family said at once, "Betty Bunny, you are a handful." There they all are saying, "Betty Bunny, calm down." Betty knew that being a handful must be a very good thing, because what could be bad about being excited about Easter? "I love Easter," Betty Bunny announced. "When I grow up, I'm going to be the Easter Bunny." "You can't be the Easter Bunny," her brother Henry told her. "Only the Easter Bunny can be the Easter Bunny," said her sister Kate. "But you could grow up to be a weird bunny who runs around acting like the Easter Bunny," her older brother Bill said. "No," Betty Bunny replied, "I'm going to be the Easter Bunny." She knew she would be a great Easter Bunny because she loved coloring eggs, carrying baskets, and eating things made of chocolate that looked like her. In other words, she loved eating chocolate Easter bunnies. She told her family that someday, when she is the Easter Bunny, she will deliver baskets full of candy and toys, not just on Easter, but every single day of the year. Can you believe that? If every day is like Easter, her mother explained, then Easter won't be special anymore. "If every day is like Easter," Betty Bunny replied, "then every day will be special. You'll see." The next day was Easter. After church, Betty Bunny and her family arrived at the neighborhood park for the big Easter egg hunt. The egg hunt was Betty Bunny's favorite part of the day. She was practically hopping out of her fur with excitement. There she is. All the other boys and girls are standing still, waiting for the Easter egg hunt to start with their little Easter baskets. And there she is, jumping around, bothering all the other kids, almost knocking one of her friends over. Betty Bunny's mother and father gave her a brand new Easter basket. It was the biggest Easter basket she had ever had. "This is a good size," Betty Bunny told them, struggling even to lift it. "I always find the most eggs, so I am sure I will fill this up." So Betty Bunny took her heavy, big basket and started to look. She looked and she looked and she looked and she looked. Kate nudged an egg with her toe. "There's one," she said. Betty Bunny put it in her basket. Henry shook a branch. Betty Bunny looked over and saw that there was an egg beneath it. "Looks like you found another," Henry said, as Betty Bunny put it in her basket. "Looks like her family is helping her." Bill picked up an egg and put it directly into Betty Bunny's basket. "How do you do it?" Bill asked, sounding impressed. Betty Bunny stopped looking for eggs. "Why are you all helping me?" she asked. "We always help you. It's why you find so many eggs," Henry explained. "I guess you're just now old enough to notice," Kate said, "but we're not helping you that much." "Man, are you good at this," Bill said, and dropped three more eggs into her basket. That's her biggest brother. "Stop it," Betty Bunny cried. "Easter is my favorite holiday. I'm going to be the Easter Bunny someday. I can find the eggs all by myself." "I believe in you," said Kate. "Cool," said Henry. "Now I can go throw eggs into the basketball hoop with my friends. And I can go sit by the parking lot and play this egg hunt game on my phone," said Bill. Betty Bunny dumped out all the eggs that her siblings had found for her. She took her empty basket and looked for eggs all by herself. She looked on the ground. She looked under rocks. She looked behind bushes. She even looked in the coat pocket of a lady who did not seem at all happy about that. She found one egg. All around her, kids were shouting, "I found one!" And someone else said, "I found one more!" And, "I found another one!" But Betty Bunny did not find another one at all. She sat down on the ground and began to cry. Betty Bunny's mother and father came over and knelt down beside her. "What's the matter?" her mother asked. "I hate Easter," Betty Bunny cried. "Easter is yucky." And she told her parents all about how this year she wanted to find eggs by herself, but found only one. "I'm never going to be the Easter Bunny," she moaned. "I'll just be a dentist. Teeth are always in the mouth where they're easy to find." Betty Bunny's father told her that he was very proud of her for wanting to find the eggs by herself. It meant that she was getting to be a big girl. Her mother was proud of her, too. She told Betty Bunny that it doesn't matter how many eggs she finds. Any egg she finds by herself will mean so much more than the eggs that someone else just gives to her. Betty Bunny nodded and wiped away her tears. And then she began looking for more eggs. She found one buried in the tall grass. She found another one underneath the swings in the swing set. She's looking happier now that she's finding eggs. She had three eggs in her giant basket, but that was all she could find. But her mother was right. Those three eggs she found all by herself meant more to her than any eggs she had ever been given. Maybe when she grew up, she would be the Easter Bunny in the spring and a dentist the rest of the year. That afternoon, Betty Bunny's mother saw Betty Bunny going through her purse. "Betty Bunny," she scolded, "what are you doing in my purse? That is not okay. You do not do that without asking." "I need money to buy an even bigger basket for next year," Betty Bunny exclaimed. "Well, then you need to ask me." "If I ask you," Betty Bunny said, "you'll just give it to me. It will mean so much more if I find it by myself." And that's the end of this book. That was sort of a silly ending. Betty Bunny knew better than to just go through her mother's purse and get the money, didn't she? But she was teasing her money about her mother about finding money in her purse. Anyways, that's the end of this book. Our next book is called Peter Easter Frog by Aaron Dealey. And this is about a frog who is not really an Easter frog, but he does like Easter. So here comes Peter Easter Frog hopping down his favorite log. "Hippity-hoppity, Easter's on its..." "Hey, you're not a bunny," he banged into the turtle and dropped his basket full of Easter eggs. "No," said Peter, "but I can hop just like a bunny, and I love Easter." "So do I," said the turtle. "Come on, why should Bunny have all the fun?" asked Peter. "Whoa, you're not the bunny," said the cow. "No," said Peter. Oops, I missed a page here. There goes Peter Easter Frog, and the turtle goes along with him. And they slogged into a pond, and turtle got an egg, because one jumped out of Peter's Easter basket. So there goes Peter Easter Frog, slogging through the meadow bog. "Squishity-squashity, Easter's on its..." "Whoa, you're not the bunny," said the cow. "No, I'm the Easter frog." "Boy, can he hop," thought the turtle. "Where's your basket of Easter eggs?" "It's too heavy," the cow says. "Well, maybe I can help." So here we go. Here comes Peter Easter Frog's friend, the Easter cow. And there is an Easter basket with all the eggs and hooked to one of her horns. And on the cow's back is the turtle. Look who's helping Peter now. "Clippity-cloppity, Easter's on its..." "No way. You're a cow bunny. That's ridiculous." "Not really. You're a sheep dog." That's the name of a kind of dog. Good point, said the dog. Happy Easter. With a big, fluffy, white dog, that sheepdog, who looks like a sheep, but he really isn't. He's a dog. Turtle, Easter cow, and dog hiding eggs with Peter the Frog. They're hiding the Easter eggs now, the three friends plus Peter Easter Frog. Yippity yappity, Easter's on it. Wait just a minute, you're not the bunny. We're the bunny backup. A frog, a turtle, a cow, and a dog? It's a big job, explains the turtle. Besides, why should the bunny have all the fun, said Peter Easter Frog. Say, and this is a little squirrel that's talking now. Say, I'm really good at hiding things, he says. He's just picked up a nut so that he can hide that nut for the coming winter. So they all got together and eat. The little squirrel now is riding on the big, fluffy sheepdog's back. Here comes Peter and all his friends. Is this where the story ends? And they come to a tunnel. And they go, Peter Easter Frog goes ahead and he's skippity-hoppity. Uh-oh. There in the tunnel, Peter sees out in the sunshine a big black shadow. And Peter stops. He's afraid of what's coming next. What do you think you're doing? Delivering eggs with Peter Easter Frog. He loves Easter, and boy can he hop. Haven't you ever wanted a little hop, a little help? All his friends say, Peter Hootie what? It's the Easter Bunny, and he's mad that Peter Easter Frog is taking over his job. I am the bunny. So there go all Peter's Easter friends. And this is where the story ends, and there was Peter Easter Frog watching them go. Hold on, guys. And Peter Easter Frog goes running after his friends, and he takes one of the eggs out of the basket on the cow's ears and takes it back to the Easter Bunny. Happy Easter! For me? Asked the Easter Bunny. Hasn't any bunny ever given you an Easter egg before? No, says the Easter Bunny. Cheers from Peter Easter Frog, Chipmunk, Turtle, Cow, Dog, Hippity Hoppity. Happy Easter Day. And there they all go, Easter Bunny included, and Peter Easter Frog is hopping along beside the bunny, and all his friends are following behind, including the squirrel. And that is the end of another Easter story. Our next book is called Lawrence in the Fall, and it's not about spring or Easter, but it's about a little fox, and it takes place in the fall. So, first of all, a picture of Lawrence with his little backpack on his back going off to school, and his mom and dad outside their den waving him goodbye. So, off he goes to school. When Lawrence saw the chalkboard in the classroom, he froze. Everyone in class made plans to show off their impressive collections. And the thing, what it said on the chalkboard, the teacher had written, bring in something that you collect to show the class. Sounds like everybody except Lawrence had something that they collected. I'll bring my playing cards, said Mr. Little Pig. And coins, said the cat. Silk ribbons, said the goose. Goose, I guess it's a goose. No, it's a duck. I collect combs, said the sheep. My marbles, said the turtle. And Lawrence just sat there. Your turn, said his classmates. But Lawrence had nothing to share. He just looked so sad. After school, Lawrence ran home in tears, bursting into his den and climbing into his bed. He explained the assignment to his papa. I have nothing for show and tell, Lawrence sobbed. Oh, said Papa, I see. You know what? I know a place where we might find a collection fit for a special fox like you. Early the next morning, Papa took Lawrence's paw and led him into the forest. There is no better place to find what you need than the woods, Papa explained. But Lawrence wasn't so sure. The path into the forest only got darker and darker. until Lawrence walked right into a spider's web. "Ick!" Lawrence whimpered. "Watch where you're going," a small voice said. "Hello, spider," Papa called out. "May we ask what you collect in this forest?" "I collect flies in my web to eat," said the spider. But Lawrence didn't want to eat his collection, so the foxes went deeper into the woods. Lawrence and Papa spotted beautiful rocks that the river had collected on its sandy floor, but the rocks were way too hard to reach, and the water in the river was running really fast, so they did not dare to try to jump in and pick up those beautiful rocks. As they walked along, tiny droplets began to fall, wetting Lawrence's fur. The foxes quickened their pace. Ooh, it was raining hard. Before long, a heavy rainfall poured down. "Follow me, Lawrence." His papa knew of a cave nearby where they could sit and safely wait out the storm. Lawrence ran after Papa as fast as he could. There they go, running through the woods. Heavy, heavy rain. But the forest floor was soggy, and Lawrence fell behind until he lost sight of Papa altogether. Uh-oh, there he was in the woods all alone. Lawrence found himself alone in a clearing. The rain quieted, and in its place came a crisp wind. "Papa," Lawrence called out softly, but all he could hear was the wind whispering in the forest. "Is anyone there?" he called. The tree high above him just stirred in reply. "Hello," Lawrence said a little louder, and this time the branches shook, and a small, colorful leaf drifted down. Lawrence was in awe of that beautiful leaf. Its perfect tips faded from red to orange. Really tells you it's the fall, isn't it? Because the leaves are starting to change color. "There you are," Papa exclaimed as he rushed into the clearing. "I thought I had lost you." "Look," said Lawrence with astonishment, forgetting that he had been lost. "Let me show you what I can do, Papa." Lawrence led his father to a grove of even taller trees, where he took a big breath, tilted his head and called out, "Hello up there!" Once again, the tree branches gracefully swayed back and forth, and the leaves floated down. Lawrence studied the leaves as he gathered them, yellow ones with rounded edges. "Now those are oak leaves," Papa exclaimed. "Thank you, oak tree," Lawrence called. Lawrence went on to collect leaves throughout the forest. He collected leaves from the honey locust trees, from a pair of white birches, and an old sycamore. He found shaggy willows, a wild crabapple, and the tallest poplars in the forest. What a good time he was having. And with a pack full of leaves, the foxes made their way home to prepare Lawrence's collection to show in the class the next day. Well, the next day, the other kids showed their collections, and then it was Lawrence's turn to present his collection. And he put all his friends were on the floor, and he laid out all these leaves. All his classmates listened as he told them about his trip to the woods. Every leaf he showed the class was unique in shape and in color. And there all the kids are listening very carefully and really, really interested in this project. Lawrence let his classmates pick out their favorite leaves. He gave away so many that by the end of the day he had no leaves left. But Lawrence didn't mind. Let's see what happens next. Because he knew where he could find some more. And there we go, Lawrence leading his friends into the forest for chances to pick up different colored leaves for themselves. There they go, ready to have a good time together as friends and start new leaf collections. And that's the end of Lawrence in the Fall. And now we're going to have another Easter book. And this one is called Happy Easter, Davy. Davy is a little rabbit. Spring had come at last. Davy, the little rabbit, and his family sat outside their burrow, soaking up the warm sunshine. Suddenly, Davy's big brother Max came running. "Guess what I just heard," said Max excitedly. "Tomorrow is Easter, when children get presents and pretty eggs. A rabbit called the Easter Bunny brings them, and I've heard that he lives right here in our woods." "Where?" asked Davy. Father Rabbit scratched his head and said, "There are lots of rabbits in the woods, but I've never met the Easter Bunny." "Present," squeaked baby Mia. "I want a present too," said big sister Lena. "Why doesn't he bring us anything?" "Well, let's go ask him," said Minnie. So off they went to find the Easter Bunny, little brothers and sister. They searched high and low, but the Easter Bunny was nowhere to be found. Oh, dear. Davy's brothers and sisters went home disappointed, but Davy stayed behind to think. "It's not fair," he said to Nicky, his toy rabbit. "The Easter Bunny should visit us, too. We're bunnies." Suddenly, Davy jumped up. "I have an idea," he said. "Come on, Nicky. We've got work to do." "So, first we need some eggs," said Davy. He saw a nest with 5 speckled eggs, but he couldn't take those. They had baby birds inside, waiting to hatch. Davy ran down to the river and found some beautiful egg-shaped pebbles instead. "Now for the presents." Davy found a secret place to work all day long. First he painted the pebbles. Then he made an Easter basket for Lena, a doll for Mia, and boats for Max and Manny. "Finished at last," he said. "Tomorrow everyone will think the Easter Bunny came after all." That night, Davy was so excited he could hardly sleep. When dawn broke, he tiptoed outside and hid the eggs in the presents. His brothers and sisters were still fast asleep when he crept back into his bed. At last, all the bunnies woke up and hopped out of the burrow. Lena tripped over something round. "Look, I found an Easter egg," she cried. "And here's another one," said Max. "The Easter egg bunny did come." Lena and Manny, Mia and Max, started an egg hunt. They were so excited when they found all the other eggs and the presents. "What about you, Davy?" said Mother Rabbit. "Didn't you find anything?" Davy blushed from head to toe. Now they would guess that he was really the Easter Bunny. Not yet," he stammered. "There he is. He has nothing to show." Father Rabbit watched patiently as Davy looked around. Davy couldn't believe his eyes. He found a pretty painted egg and a little wooden flute. Who could have hidden them? Father Rabbit said, "It looks like the kind Easter Bunny brought something for all our children. This calls for a celebration." So the rabbit family had a happy Easter picnic in the meadow, and the happiest of all was Davy, the secret Easter Bunny. Isn't that nice what that little brother did for his family, his brothers and sisters, so they would have presents and Easter eggs on Easter? Our next book is still about bunnies and rabbits, but it's not really an Easter book. It's a father rabbit talking to his little bunny son. "Come, little rabbit, don't be shy. It's time to tell the snow goodbye. It's spring, I guess, and the father's bringing the little bunny out into the world because it's not so cold anymore." "Hush, little bunny, don't you cry." He must have stepped on a piece of ice and slipped, because little bunny's crying. "Hush, little bunny, don't you cry. Papa's going to give you the big blue sky. And if that big blue sky clouds over, Papa's going to give you a patch of clover. And there's fresh clover springing out of the ground now that Easter is over. And when that patch of clover is done, I'll give you a meadow where you can run. And if a hawk comes gliding down, I'll show you a safe nest underground. You don't want to be picked up by the hawk. And when that hiding place gets tight, I'll take you back up into the light. And there they go out on the grass and into the meadow. And if the afternoon brings showers, we'll stay by a tree that's hung by flowers. There they are, hiding from the rain under a beautiful flowering tree. And when those flowers blow away, we'll find some other bunnies and play. And if those bunnies don't play fair, I'll growl at them just like a bear. Hush, little bunny, don't you cry. Papa's going to show you a firefly. And if that firefly takes wing, I'll take you where the blackbird sings. There they're listening by the side of a little pond. And when the sun is sinking fast, we'll tunnel softly through the grass. Come, little bunny, come what may. I'll watch you grow from day to day. And when the spring has come and gone, I'm still going to love you all year long. And isn't that a lovely song that the papa's singing to the baby bunny? It's a beautiful, beautiful one. Now, to finish off today's episode of Read to Succeed, we're going to read some more from the Please and Thank You book. And it's about animals and their good and bad manners. And some animals are showing really nice manners, and some animals are showing terrible manners. This one is called Rabbits at the Table. The rabbit twins always taste the food that's on the table. They don't always eat it all, but they eat as much as they're able. Funny or runny or something new, they try at least a bite or two. Now, is that something you do? Or do you refuse to eat anything that you don't know what it might be? And then we have, the next one is called, let's see, once I get the page turned, Pull Yourself Together, Pamela Pig. Pamela Pig is simply a mess. Her hair's uncombed, there's ink on her dress. Her hands are filthy, and I have a hunch that chocolate pudding was part of her lunch. Doesn't she know it isn't polite to make others look at such a sad sight? And that, well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Children's of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Read to Succeed on the North Carolina Reading Service.